Father, that is our heart and our prayer. May we truly lift our hearts up for you to renew. May we lift our hands and worship you, and truly even today, may we say, may we serve you all our days. Amen, amen. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day Yah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I know things have changed a bit since we were together last week. Just want to greet those who are with us today, those who are listening live to the broadcast over the internet, those who have called in, and those who will be joining in the podcast when it's posted later. Since last week, we have had the World Health Organization declare a global pandemic, and we had our president yesterday declare a national emergency. I know many of you probably are experiencing shortages at the grocery stores, school closings, wonderings of what's going on. But, you know, none of this has taken the Father by surprise. Psalms 118:4 says, "Let those who fear Yah now say, His loving commitment is everlasting. I called on Yah in my distress. Yah answered me in a broad place. Yahuwah is on my side. I do not fear what man does to me. Yah is for me among those helping me. Therefore, I look on those hating me. It is better to take refuge in Yahuwah than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in Yahuwah than to trust in princes." Verse 17 says, "Let me not die but live and declare the works of Yah." And again, verse 24, "This is the day Yah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Things have changed a lot since we've last met. But for those of you who've been listening, for those who we've been gathering together, we've spoke of things coming, of being prepared, of being that wise virgin, of being the watchman on the wall and saying that there are things coming. We've seen the signs in the heavens the last few years. And whether this is the final event, if there's more to come, Yah is still in control. And for those who choose life, who walk in His ways, it's such as a time as this. We've seen shortages in the grocery stores. We've seen the stock market tumble. I'm not sure what's going on with the economy, but they're trying to inject trillions into the economy to keep it afloat. But with the shortages and outages worldwide, I expect things to get more difficult before they get better. One bright spot, I guess if you could say bright spot, they have done their best to suppress the price of silver and gold, and both of them have tumbled in days past. Normally, when the stock market tumbles, silver and gold goes the other way. For example, after 9/11, when the stock market crashed, silver rapidly went all the way up to $48.58. We had a huge market correction last week, and silver shot up all the way from $18.87 to close at $14.74. There was a lot of manipulation in the market, a lot of paper buying, because if you actually try to buy silver at that price, it's largely unavailable. With silver being a great price, I thought we'd look into it and perhaps see, but most of the bullion houses have been out of silver. And those who are in to even get the Canadian maple leaf silver piece, the cheapest I found it has been $21.37. So while they're trying to manipulate the markets and stave off panic, in reality, they're just trying to kick the can down the road for another week or two or three. So So I hope you have made preparations. I hope you are ready. And again, to put our trust in the Father, to put our trust in the leading of what the Spirit is saying, and to be prepared for these days ahead. We left off last week in Exodus chapter 7, verse 7. So we'll pick up at Exodus 7, 8. For those who are with us, we are doing the triennial or the three-year parashah portions. So it's a little different from the annual parashah portion. So Exodus 7, 8 says, "And Yah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, Show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, Take your rod and throw it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moshe and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, and Yah commanded. And Aaron threw his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the practicers of witchcraft. And they, the magicians of Mitzrayim, also did with their magic. And they, each one, threw down his rod, and they became serpents." You know, even Yeshua himself, Jesus, said that in the last days many would come, and that they would perform miracles and signs and wonders, lying wonders, if possible, to even fool the very elect. We need to be watchful in these days, wary of what we hear, and make sure that everything lines up with his word and his ways, and not look into a false hope and a promise. Because even the magicians of Egypt threw down theirs and did the same sign and wonder that Moshe and Aaron did. But the last of verse 12 says, "But the rod of Aaron swallowed up their rods." This doesn't seem to matter to Pharaoh, because verse 13 said, "And Pharaoh's heart was strengthened, and he did not listen to them, as Yah had said. Yahuwah said to Moshe, The heart of Pharaoh is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And take in your hand the rod which was turned into a serpent, and you shall say to him, Yahuwah, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, so that they serve me in the wilderness. But see, until now you have not listened. Thus says Yah, By this you know that I am Yahuwah. See, I am striking the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Mitzrites, the Egyptians, shall find it impossible to drink the water of the river. Yah spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, Take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Mitzrayim, over their streams, over the rivers, over their pond, and over all their pools of water, and they became blood. And there shall be blood in all the land of Mitzrayim, both in wooden and in stone containers. And Moses and Aaron did so as Yah commanded, and he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Mitzrites were unable to drink the water of the river. And the blood was in all the land of Mitzrayim. And the magicians of Mitzrayim of Egypt did the same with their magic. And the heart of Pharaoh was strengthened, and he did not listen to them, as Yah had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and his heart was not moved by this either. And all the Mitzrites dug all around the river for water to drink, for they were unable to drink the water of the river, and 7 days were completed after Yah had struck the river. So here again, Moses and Aaron go out, they speak to Pharaoh, they turn the water into blood. Water everywhere was turned into blood. They had to try to dig beside the river to get new water. And then Pharaoh's magician said, Oh, look, we can turn this water into blood too. So again, Pharaoh wasn't moved. Yah spoke to Moshe, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says Yah, let my people go so that they serve me, 8:1. But if you refuse to let them go, see, I am smiting all your border with frogs, and the river shall swarm with frogs, which shall go up and shall come into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and in your houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants. And Yah said to Moshe, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up on the land of Mitzrayim. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Mitzrayim, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Mitzrayim. And the magicians did so with their magic and brought up frogs on the land of Mitzrayim. Again, to me, it just speaks of the arrogance and the ignorance of the supposed wise men in Egypt, because with their magic, with their incantations, with their sorcery, they brought more frogs upon a situation that was already overrun. Does that sound today about what our wise men are doing with their ways? Instead, I would have been interested if they could have gotten rid of the frogs, if they could have turned the water back from blood into water. But all they were able to do was, again, bring more death, more destruction, more heartache. Verse 8, Pharaoh then called to Moses and Aaron and said, pray to Yah to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I shall let the people go to slaughter to Yahuwah. And Moshe said to Pharaoh, explain yourself to me. When am I to pray for you and for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses and remain only in the river? So he, Pharaoh, said, tomorrow. And Moshe said, let it be according to your word, so that you know that there is no one like Yahuwah our Elohim, and the frogs shall turn aside from you and from your houses and from your servants and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moshe and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. So again, Pharaoh, in all his wisdom, decided, oh no, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Again, many times we see those who will push off what needs to be done now till tomorrow. One more day, we will put up with the pestilence, the things that are in our lives, because we don't want to repent today. Verse 12, and Moses cried out to Yah concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And Yah did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out in the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them, as Yah has said. We've seen this over and over in our country, where Yah has allowed something to come upon the land. And yet, when we've seemed to have gotten relief, we have hardened our heart. We have not changed our ways. Instead, we have continued with rampant abortion. The children who do survive, we've taken and educated them about all the different kind of genders, about all of the kind of things that the scripture calls abomination, but we call lifestyle choices. The scripture calls them lifestyle choices as well, but he says those things bring curses and death. Excuse me. And then they advise us to choose life, choose blessings. Now many are beginning to cry out because of the choices we have made. And now the results we have reaped. Verse Verse 15 again. And when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them, as Yah had said. And Yah said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so it becomes gnats in all the land of Mitzrayim. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became gnats on all man and beast, and all the dust of the land became gnats in the land of Mitzrayim. And the magicians did similarly with their magic to bring forth gnats, but they were unable. There were gnats on man and beast, and the magicians finally then said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of Elohim. But the heart of Pharaoh was strengthened, and he did not listen to them, as Yah has said. Again, we haven't seen gnats, but again, we see small, invisible viruses that are literally blanketing our country like dust. And yet, to date, we've seen no large-scale repentance. We've seen no one truly turning. Oh, we see people praying, and I am sure that tomorrow, those churches that are still meeting, many will be praying, asking for things to change, for things to turn. Yet we know from 2 Chronicles 7:14, he does say, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. But then he goes on. It doesn't end there. It says, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's time for us to do more than just pray. We need to pray and repent and turn. We need to humble ourselves and seek his face. And then he has promised he will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our Torah portion today comes from Joel chapter 3. Again, if you don't have the Torah portions, you can go to our website, Choose Life Congregation, all lowercase, no spaces, .org or .com. We've now got it. It'll redirect you to .org. And you can go to the Torah portion and it will show. And if you looked at it this week, it says Joel 3:3. But you know, I have problems just reading one verse most times. We're going to read the chapter of Joel 3. And it says, for look, in those days and at that time when I turn back the captivity of Yehuda and Jerusalem, then I shall gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I shall enter into judgment with them there for my people. Mine inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a young man for a whore, sold a girl for wine and drank it. And also, what are you to me, O Zior and Zidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Are you repaying me? And if you are repaying me, I would swiftly and speedily return your reward on your own head. You have taken my silver and my gold and brought my treasures into your temples. And the people of Yehuda and the people of Jerusalem have you sold to the sons of Yawan to remove them far from their borders. See, I am stirring them up out of the place to which you have sold them, and I shall return on your head what you have done, and shall sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the people of Yehuda. And they shall sell them to the Shebaites, to a nation far off, for Yah has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for battle. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of battle draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hasten and come, all ye nations, and gather together all around. O Yah, let your mighty men come down here. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I shall sit to judge all the nations on every side. Put in the sickle, for the harvest has grown ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is filled. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Crowds, crowds in the valley of decision, for the day of Yah is near in the valley of decision. Sun and moon shall become dark, and stars shall withdraw their brightness. And Yah shall roar from Zion, and give forth his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and earth shall shake. But Yah shall be a refuge for his people and a stronghold for the children of Israel. Then you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my set-apart mountain. And Jerusalem shall be set apart, and foreigners shall not pass through her again. And it shall be in that day that the mountains drip with new wine, and the hills flow with milk. And all the streams of Yehuda shall be flooded with water, and a fountain flow from the house of Yah, and water the Wadi Shittim. Mitzrayim shall become a ruin, and Edom a wilderness, because of violence done to the people of Yehuda, who innocent blood they shed in their land. But Yehuda shall dwell forever in Jerusalem to all generations. And I shall avenge their blood, which I have not avenged, and Yah shall be dwelling in Zion. Our New Testament portion, our apostolic scriptures, our second writings, come from Revelation 16. Revelation 16, 4 through 16. It says, and the third messenger poured out his bowl on the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the messenger of the water saying, you are righteous, O Yah, the one who is and who was and who shall be, because you have judged this. Because they have shed the blood of set-apart ones and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they deserve it. And I heard another out of the slaughter place saying, yes, Yah El Shaddai, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth messenger poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was given to him to burn men with fire, and men were burnt with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of Elohim, who possesses authority over these plagues. And they did not repent to give him esteem. And we do need to remember that he possesses authority over these plagues. But will we repent? Will we give him esteem? The fifth messenger poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the rain became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues from pain. And they blasphemed the Elohim of the heaven for their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their works. Will we repent of our works in this time, or will we instead blame God? Will we harden our heart? Will we continue down the path of destruction and to choose curses? The sixth messenger, verse 12, poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up in order to prepare the way of the sovereigns from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets three unclean spirits as frogs, for they are spirits of demons doing signs, which go out to the sovereigns of the entire world to gather them to the battle of the great day of Yah the Almighty. Will we see lying signs and wonders ahead? Are we moving toward the one world order, a one world government? Will this be what brings us to the brink as we see the economy around the world tumble, as we see illness continue around the world? Be watchful for the days ahead and to see what is coming, to see what things are lining up with Scripture, and most importantly, to see, does the answer, does the solution line up with Scripture? If the things that they suggest to handle the outbreak are not following His ways, then how do we expect the outcome of those to be any better? Verse 15, see, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who is staying awake and guarding his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew, Har Megiddo. Or again, Armageddon. So we know this is speaking of the end days and the last times. We see here as the messengers come and the beginning ones pour out their bowls. We see as the world begins to coalesce together into one unified, or at least allianced, against the plagues. And then verse 15 is interjected. See, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and guarding his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I truly believe that this COVID-19 is going to begin to make a separation between the land of Goshen and the land of Mitzrayim, between the fathers and those who have known his hand but not his ways, known his hand but not his heart, known his hands but not seen his face. I believe the Father is beginning to make a divide between his true disciples and those who he've never known. He says to guard your garment, lest you walk naked and they see your shame. But what is that garment that we are supposed to be guarding? If you recall, this was written by John, the beloved. John, the disciple who laid on the chest of Messiah at the Last Supper. John, who was raised as a Jew, raised in Israel, raised following the teachings of Moses. And when he was being to speak of a garment which you cover yourself, a garment so that you not be naked, it brought to mind to me Deuteronomy 22:12. Make tassels on the four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself. And here, as he says, to stay awake and guard your garments, lest you walk naked and they see a shame. It also brought to mind the virgins who were prepared, the watchman on the wall who sees what is coming, the prudent man, in Proverbs it says, who sees the day of distress ahead. Now, the other place in the Torah where it talks about the garment or the tassels or the tzitzit is Numbers 15, 38 through 40, which says, speak to the children of Israel, and you shall say to them to make tzitzit on the corner of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue cord on the tzitzit of the corner. And tzitzit just means a tassel, a fringe, a lock, like a lock of hair. And it shall be to you for tzitzit, and you shall see it. Now here's the purpose for it. And shall remember all the commands of Yah, and shall do them. Now it's not just about wearing some tassel, some fringe. It's not just about trying to be different from anyone else or to be more Jewish. It's about seeing them and remembering the commands of Yah and doing them. When we remember his commands and do them, again, we are choosing life. We are choosing blessings. We are walking in a way that blessings will overtake us in the city, in the open places, as we lie down, as we wake up, as we are about our business. Because we are choosing life and walking in that path that is the straight and the narrow that leads to life. We are staying away from the broad and the wide way that leads to destruction. We're doing as Revelations commands us and instructs us to come out of her, my people, that you partake not of her sin and her plagues. And literally, the best way to avoid this COVID-19 is to come out of her. Don't be around those who have it. To have prepared so that you can not be near those who are not choosing life. Then he goes on in verse 39 and says, and do not search after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you went whoring, so that you remember and shall do all my commands, verse 40, and be set apart unto Elohim. It is a time for us to turn from doing what is in our own heart and after our own eyes, not to trust in those things more than we do Yah, but to return to his commands, to return to his ways of life. Not from our salvation, that comes from Yeshua HaMashiach, from Jesus, from his death, his burial, his resurrection. As we're entering into the spring feast coming soon, and we celebrate his Pesach, his time of unleavened bread, of getting all the sin out of my life because of the sacrifice. As Paul said, that he was my Paschal lamb. He went once and for all, in Hebrew it says, into the Holy of Holies, and put the blood upon the mercy seat, so that we know he's already taken care of my day of judgment. He sent us his Ruach HaKodesh so that we know he's already given us his Shavuot, his set-apart spirit. And we also know he's already given us his Torah, his word, the expression of him, because John told us in the Gospel of John, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with El, and the Word was El. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. We know in Revelations it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, what's the word of your testimony? Is that just saying, oh, this is how I had the blood of the Lamb applied to me? Why would that be necessary? Would they not already see that the blood of the Lamb was applied to me? Did the death angel not come down and pass over the houses that had the blood applied to the doorpost? Absolutely. And in that day, again, the blood applied to my heart, to the doorpost of my life. His blood that covers my sin, that has separated as far as the east is from the west, will be all that I can rely on. Because my works are as filthy rags. I have already become guilty of all of the law because I have broken the law. And what I deserve are the wages of sin is death. But his mercy, his blessing, his gift, his grace is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach. But we're not talking about our eternal life. We're talking about our life here, now. How do I walk in this world so that I am safe, my family is safe? How do I show that I'm truly his disciples? How do I show that I love him, trust him, have accepted him as Lord and Savior? Now, my children don't prove they are my children by obeying me. My children don't get to become my children because they obey me. My children became my children because of the covenant relationship with my wife and I, and because the Father blessed us and blessed the fruit of the womb, and we were able to have children. But because they are my children, because I love them and they love me, because of that relationship we have there, they have learned to honor, to obey, to trust. And though I am far from a perfect father, thankfully they have a heavenly Father and his words that have allowed them to overlook my shortcomings, that have allowed us to ask forgiveness of them where I have failed, for them to grant forgiveness. But because of the relationship we have, because they are my children, then they listen and they obey, they consider, they ponder. Even as they've grown older, they've listened and considered before making decisions, because they are my children. In the same way, his commands, his mitzvahs, his right rulings are not a way for me to earn salvation, but they are a way of choosing life, of choosing blessings. We open today with Psalms 118 that said, "Rejoice, for this is the day that Yah has made." But the following chapter, Psalms 119, the longest chapter in Scripture, is filled with the goodness of the law, the blessings of the law, the joy of the law, of memorizing the law, putting the law in my heart that I don't sin against you. And it's broken up into literally sections that are the alphabet of the Hebrew language. So that as children learned their alphabet, many times they learned it from Psalms 119. So that literally from their first understandings, they were taught of the goodness of God, and that he is a loving Father, and that he made a way where there seems to be no way, and that when we fail to be able to keep that way, he sent his only Son to pay the price, who then sent his Spirit to empower me that I might walk worthy of the calling which I was called. Yes, we need to pray for our country. But Proverbs 28:9 says, he who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. We need to have a time of not just prayer, but of returning to our Father who art in heaven. Not just to say, hallowed be thy name, but to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know in John, Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We know he said, again, just as we looked last week or two from John, where he said, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. We know from 1 John and 2 John says that if you do not do his commands, then you don't know him. It's not about the doing, it's about the knowing. But when I know him, when I am his, and he speaks, then I will obey. The scripture says you'll know them by their fruit, not by their gifting, but by their fruit. Jesus himself said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works, your fruit, and glorify my Father who is in heaven. So today, as we see our country perhaps on a brink of a change of which we may not have seen in decades, if ever, where many of the leaders have said this is like a war, yet it's an enemy we can barely see and don't know how to defeat. Where we see times of people buying out the stores, where we have set up our economy with a just-in-time distribution and supply system so that there are not warehouses of goods stored. Where if the truck doesn't bring the next delivery, the shelves can be bare in minutes. Where we have instead labeled people hoarders who have sought to prepare. We've mocked and scoffed at them. We look back at Y2K and those who prepared and said, see, it was all nothing. A matter of fact, if you go back and you look at silver's history, silver hit an all-time low of a little over $4 back around 2001 as people who had saved up for Y2K began to flood the market. I don't know what's going to happen with pricing in the days ahead. But I know the signs that have been coming for the last few years. I know the preparations that the Father has been putting on our hearts and that I've been sharing and that many are being heard. And as we talked the last few weeks, it's not just important to be prepared physically and mentally, but most of all, it is a time to be prepared spiritually. It's a time to truly be grafted in to the Commonwealth of Israel so that we can partake of that root that feeds us. That Jesus, our Messiah, who came and will come back again one day, even when he comes back, he sets his feet on the mountains of Israel and rules from Jerusalem. And even in the new heaven and the new earth, we see coming down, if you read the next few chapters of Revelations, a new Jerusalem. We cannot get away that he sent his son through people and through men who chose to be set apart, and through a nation that he set apart to himself, and who he gave the words of life, knowing that they wouldn't keep them, knowing that they would go astray. At the very time when he was giving them the Ten Commandments, they were down in the valley making the golden calf, calling it the sacred name and saying it was the one that brought them out of Egypt. Will we repeat the mistakes of our ancestors, of our forefathers, of those who have gone before? Or will we this time truly begin to walk in his ways? Will we this time repent from our wicked ways? Will we choose life? Will we not go after our own heart, our own ways, our own thoughts? But will we find his way? Take care of your families if you haven't prepared physically. Pray and ask, seek, stay vigilant. I don't know what the days ahead have done, which is why the last few months we've been saying prepare, prepare, prepare. But I know that he is still on the throne. I know that it is never too late to turn to him. If we will turn to him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, if we will truly repent and hear, he is still the one who can make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm reminded of the parable that Messiah gave of the vineyard owner who went out and saw those who were not working and said, come and gather my harvest and I will pay you. And they began to work from early on. And at noontime, he went out again and he said, saw others still not working. He said, come, work and I'll pay you. And they came. And then even further on into the day, as the day was drawing near, he went out and others still stood idle. And he said, why are you not working? Come, and I'll pay you. And at the end of the days, he paid each of them the same. And the one who had worked all day looked and said, we've worked all day in your vineyard. Why do they get the exact same that we got? And the vineyard owner looked and said, did I not pay you what we agreed on? I will not be upset for those who the Father provides miraculously for. I will be blessed and glad for those who he takes care. Because all we have is what he has led us to do. And everything that we have are by his grace and his mercy and his blessings. But even more so now, as surely many can see the times who are upon us. It is past time to prepare, to repent, to hear, and to do. If you have any questions, again, you can contact us at info@chooselifecongregation.org. If you go to our website, our contact information is on there, our phone number, our address. Feel free to call, to write, to email, get a hold of us any way we can, and we will try to respond to you. We'll try to continue to broadcast every week at this same time, and hopefully we'll have this podcast up soon. I know today has been a shorter message, but it's a time again for us to spend in prayer for our country, for our family, for those who have not prepared, and see that if by any means they will wake up, that they will open their eyes, that the scales will fall off, and that having eyes they will see and ears they will hear what the Spirit is saying. Our prayers are for you, for your family, for your safety, and mostly that in this time you will draw near unto him, that you will, even as they suggest, wash your hands, you sinners. But you'll also purify your hearts, that you'll not be double-minded. But that truly we can shema, we can hear and obey. Father, thank you for your Shabbat, for your time of Sabbath. Thank you that you've already taught us every week how to draw away, how to come apart, so that we've already began to practice those things. Thank you that you already taught us to prepare as the time of sabbatical years came up. Thank you that you taught us already how to survive as we've gone through the fall feast of Sukkot and learned how to rough it. Thank you that even in the midst of this pandemic, you are still on the throne and have not been moved. Thank you that you knew the end from the beginning and that you showed it unto your servants. And thank you that your arm is not short, that you are still able to do all that you have promised, and that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto, Leolam Vayed. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.